It's hard to read the new community report released by the City of Hamilton and not get a lump in your throat. It isn't pride that swells up, but anger. On page 4, Mission, Vision, and Values subsection, the city lists some of the following vision statements. Integrity, to demonstrate honesty and sincerity in all our dealings, upholding only the highest of ethical principles, to provide open and transparent communications to create informed opinion. Respect for the needs of all residents, for all viewpoints, and for the diversity of our community. Compassion, sensitivity to and meeting the requirements of all residents with special needs and interests and those less fortunate. These three glowing statements are just part of a marketing campaign by the city, nothing more, as these values are missing when it comes to dealing with the residents that live next to the Red Hill Valley. I took a visit down to Sinclair Court last weekend to speak to some of the homeowners and to take a look at their backyards. These are the homes that line the high bluff on the southwest side of the creek. The word got around pretty quickly, and suddenly the backyard at 18 Sinclair was filling with neighbors. They all had the same concerns, and they were all fearful of and angry with the city. In all the years the expressway has been in the planning, there has never been any information or meetings with these homeowners with the most to lose if the highway goes through, except for one meeting demanded by Roy Salisbury last July. Salisbury, a construction engineer for over 40 years, is appalled at the behavior of the city. You would never do construction on a cliff like this without doing a stability study first, he said. No stability studies have ever been done on this bank. If they have to come in 10 or 15 feet from the rim to obtain some stability, then this particular house will have to be demolished. He was referring to number 18 Sinclair Court, where the distance of yard between the back of the house to a nearly vertical 40-foot drop to the rushing creek water below is only 10 feet in most places. This house belongs to Larry and Donna Dobrowski and was built 3 generations ago by Larry's grandfather. They quickly show me photographs of how his grandfather made the yard more stable in 1969 by strengthening the cliff wall with railway ties and planting a line of willow trees. It is those trees, now over 60 feet in height, that have been holding up the earth wall these 30-some-odd years. There is a real genuine fear of losing the house if a sound barrier is erected once those trees are removed. It is true the residents have a choice of not getting the sound wall built, but as I could hear for myself, conversation by hikers walking the trail on the other side of the creek could easily be heard. What kind of noise levels would there be by expressway traffic? Larry Dobrowski is a strong, proud man, but with visible signs of MS, one can only imagine the strain all of this will put on his health. The couple wonder if they should go ahead with plans for house repairs, but the city has left them in limbo. To get a sound wall put in behind number 18 Sinclair Court might mean losing the very house. Or if the sound wall could be erected, Donna Dobrowski would literally be able to reach out her kitchen window and touch it. Nobody from the city hall has supplied any information. They have no idea of what will happen and when it will happen. Donna has written several letters to the city with no reply. All of the neighbors gathered nod their heads in agreement. They too have not been able to get any information out of city hall. The one thing that they have in common is fear of reprisal, especially after the publicized stance the city has taken with the latest court injunction protesters. Right now we're gathered at, what address is this?
18 Sinclair
Court. We're at 18 Sinclair Court, and this house seems to be the one that's the most in the most danger of being actually eroded as soon as they do any work on the Red Hill Valley. The length of the lawn here, the backyard, between the house and the edge of the embankment is how many feet, would you say? 6 feet on the average. I would say less than 6 feet in a couple of spots. What's the angle for the drop here?
It's almost vertical drop. Yeah, almost.
So it's about 85 to 90 degree angle. It's about a 40-foot drop when we look straight down into the Red Hill Creek. Do you want to give us a little bit of background on this particular property?
My husband's family originally built this house here in the exact location. They had no choice. They couldn't put it any closer frontage-wise. So we've been here. We bought the home from my husband's grandparents, and we've been here over 30 years. We've been married since 1972.
Earlier, I was looking at some photos of what this backyard was, and there was some sort of serious erosion. That was 1969, wasn't it?
Just after the house was built here, there was a certain amount of erosion in the backyard. And my husband, as a young man, was staying here with his grandparents, and they put in railroad ties and planted willow trees to hold the earth. They're quite huge, 60 feet. Basically, the roots from those willows are basically what's holding the land here.
And if those trees were gone?
The house would be gone eventually, too.
When the city decided to put the expressway through, has anybody from the city or any surveyors or anything like that come and talked to you and looked at your yard?
No, they have not. Not until when was the one meeting that Mr. Salisbury called?
The city didn't approach us. I had to go to the city.
When was that?
In early July, they finally arrived.
Of 2003?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No one has ever been back here.
They've made no attempt to contact any of the residents here at all.
So the one open meeting was in your backyard, which is two doors over. What about the open forums that the city hall had?
I attended one of them, but the scale of the valley was too small to really determine what...
Tell us about when you saw the boundary for the sound wall.
Well, I visited the project office, I think, in March or April, and I asked what the red line was on the map that they showed me, the plan, and they told me it was a sound barrier.
And your name and your background, sir?
My name is Roy Salisbury. My background, I've been in heavy construction for 35, 40 years now. Planning, costing, project management. I have a reasonable background in heavy construction. There have been no stability studies whatsoever done on this bank. Now, if they have to come in 10, 15 feet from the rim to obtain some stability, then this house will have to be demolished.
Right, the house that we're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that affects your backyard as
well. It will also affect my backyard. They'll have to take some of my property. They'll have to take the property of my two neighbors, too.
And that's just for the sound barrier, right?
That's just for the sound barrier. To erect the sound barrier, they need at least a 10-foot access, which means taking down numerous trees. They'll have to come across the properties.
In my yard, it'll be just about... What did they say? 4 to 6 feet from my home.
Yeah. So you can stick your arm out your window.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. This is my kitchen window, and when I look out, I will see a wall.
But that presupposes that the bank is stable enough to take that. If it's not, then the house has to go.
So any kind of construction, even if it's just pounding the ground, poses a real threat to the foundation of your house.
Absolutely.
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm on the other side of the valley. It's a drive.
Lancaster Drive.
Yes, on the other side of the valley.
So how will this impact your...
Well, I'm on the far side of the street, so it's not in my backyard. I'm just concerned about the noise. I'm concerned about the money issue.
How do you mean money issue?
Well, Hamilton can't afford it. They definitely can't afford it. We're in debt. I haven't heard anything
Have
at all.
Have you been contacted by any mainstream media or city or
no.
anybody in...
No, nobody at all.
Trinidad?
Nobody at all.
How do you find information out?
From our Red Hill Neighborhood Association. That's the only way I'm finding any information at all.
Have you gone down to the city and asked for information?
I've got the map. They don't give out any information, really. They handed me a map. I went to a meeting, I think it was maybe 3-4 years ago, up at Carmen's. And they were talking about it then. But they've changed everything since then. They changed the road of the creek.
Roy was saying, the size of the map is not very informative.
It doesn't give any detail for any homeowner to really appreciate what the impact is on their property. At the meeting that we had, they brought much larger scale plans down.
Mm-hmm.
But even those weren't really large enough to show the impact. The bank wasn't really shown. Well, they showed the creek, but not the problem with the bank. And the plan cannot show that without sections and detail, which they do not have.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody been offered any financial restitution for the use of the...
None.
Nothing?
There was a vague reference to, if necessary, we shall offer market value prices.
Who assesses that?
Well, there's no mention of that.
But then again, market value for your home and market value for a house is two different things. I've lived on this street on a quiet ravine for over 30 years. I do not want to move. So are they going to give me market value plus the costs of moving and the inconvenience of moving and my lifestyle change? I'm on a court with a ravine lot. I have a beautiful location here, which I've lived in for 30 years. Over 30 years. I mean, this is the lifestyle that I was lucky enough to buy and to have. And I don't want that changed. And I don't feel the city or anyone else should come and say, you're out of here.
You've been a resident in this neighborhood for a long time. You're running for council now, right? You want to tell us a little bit about your reasons for running?
My name's Andrew Schroeder. I've lived in the area for 29 years. I've grown up to love this area and love the valley. Part of the process of me running is that to protect the valley. They currently, as everybody knows, they want to put it through. But there's many issues upon and problems with putting the expressway through. And one of them being is the lack of public consultation. As we know with all these people that have gathered here today, the lack of consultation and the lack of sensitivity of which the city has handled this issue is quite alarming. The lack of the democratic process as well. And I hope to change that with getting elected in this ward. Being from here, I know the value of this area and the values of these people, and I consider myself definitely one of them. And I would like to further represent them on council and make the right choices and stop the expressway.
Nobody's gotten any flyers or any information at all? Nothing's been delivered to your doors?
Nothing. I never even got from our last meeting there. I never got the minutes, which were promised.
Copy on email. And as far as I know, that's the only effort they've made to contact us. That was 2.5 months ago.
I just find this shocking. It's really hard for me to not be stunned by this information. Here it is. We're on the brink of somebody's going to maybe lose their house, and other people are losing their market value, not to mention just the change of lifestyle. This is real emotional and health damage that's happening here, as well as financial. And yet there's been no consultation. The city posts on their own website that there has been consultation sessions at City Hall, and questions have been asked and questions have been answered. Has anybody got anything to say about that?
The usual thing, where it's open to the general public. It's not specifically for those who are going to be impacted. So these are questions raised by the general public. Okay, what will you do about sound? Well, we'll put up a sound barrier. The majority of people don't know what the sound barrier means, really. And many of them think that have the impression that the sound barrier goes right next to the highway. And that's what they think. They're quite appalled when they find out that it's to go through their backyards. I've actually been down to City Hall, but it seemed to make no impression at all.
Oh, it is. It's a very frustrating and stressful time. I can't do improvements to my home because I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my home.
Yeah.
So we've been sitting in limbo here for several years.
The more I ask questions about this situation, the more I find out that the city's not been as truthful as they like us to believe.
Then you're saying there's a trail down there, and we had to just stop this a little bit because we're hearing some kids just walking down.
But then
there, you can
I
hear,
can
it
hear
if
that,
you,
yeah.
If you listen, that's some children playing.
The city planner who came here once said, oh, there won't be much noise. And I said, well, look at the noise that comes right up the side of the...
We can hear this conversation right now.
Yeah.
This is just somebody on the trail. I'm never going to stop.
The other side of the creek.
On the other side of the creek?
Yeah. From my kitchen window, you can hear people talking in the morning when I'm having my coffee. I can hear the people walk on that trail discussing their problems of the day. Now, you tell me that those trucks or those cars going up that expressway aren't going to make that kind of noise?
And here is with, this is right now with the leaves. Now, without the leaves,
be worse
in the winter, without the leaves filtering some of that noise.
And like I said about the trains, I've listened to them for years, and I like it. I like the sound of the train going by. I like the sound that it makes. I'm used to that.
Yeah.
And there's not much pollution from that. But cars and trucks, it's a different story.
Well, how many feet do you think? How many feet away is that path? It's on at the bottom of the ravine on the other side of the creek from here.
50 meters, maybe?
Yeah, 150.
I can hear them louder than you right now.
Yes, the path is about 150 meters away.
Look low, you can see it on the other side of the path.
They say the trail system and the parklands will be improved with the expressway running through the valley. We were talking about the public consultation period, and they the city adopted an attitude and posted times during the week in the middle of the day for the public consultation, assuming that people could make it, but most people have jobs. Many concerned citizens couldn't make it at the time, so thus eliminating much of the public voice. Their attitude was, you come to us, but whereas a project of this size and scope and with the amount of people that it affects, the city should really adopt the attitude, we're coming to you, we're going to show you and tell you what this really
is
about.
This is taxpayers' dollars
doing this. Yep. One thing is that the public consultation period was to ensure the shroud of secrecy that surrounds this whole expressway project.
Yeah. There does seem to be something amiss here. There does seem to be, we don't do anything till the last minute. There's a lot of bully tactics. Somebody was talking to me earlier about some of the residents being afraid to speak up for fear of reprisal from the city. Has anybody got any comments on that?
People on the Greenhill side have spoken to me and said that they are afraid to put themselves forward.
Afraid because to what? Lose their house or what?
Well, that they will cost them too much money. The city will come back to them as they have with the Red Hill Expressway defendants. They're going after for $120,000. It makes you think, you stop and think, am I going to be hit by the city for court costs?
So you're being bullied?
It's intimidating, really.
Definitely.
You all feel like you're being bullied?
Sure. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. You're all terrified to speak up.
A city-approved statement that will press legal charges upon any individual impeding the expressway, that's an attack on the citizens, an attack on our democratic right to speak up and say, that we believe that this is wrong, and it has scared a lot of people. But in terms of myself, I still have faith in democracy, and that's why I've decided to run. At the end of the day, it still comes down to people making right choices, and we hope there's enough people that can make the right choice and say that the valley needs to be protected.
Okay, so now we're talking about if they actually honor that injunction, you can be arrested for trespass in your own backyard.
What it's going to come down to, isn't it? If I have a backyard left.
The bike paths, the very bike paths and trails that are used by the public down below that we were just speaking of, that will be directly involved with the path of the building of the expressway. So what, anybody, 5 years that the expressway is proposed to be built, the whole bike path trails are not going to be used?
Maybe 7 years, yeah.
Yes, exactly. We're going to serve corridors to people that want to go for a walk. It's ridiculous.
Okay, well, what do you say to people that live around 20 Highway that say there's too much pollution and too much traffic, we have to have a highway? I mean, does anybody get any comments on that?
It's part of a larger picture that currently our transportation models and the way we live and think in the city needs to be changed, that surely Highway 20 is servicing the bedroom communities that are being sprawled upon the top of Stony Creek Mountain. Until we stop favoring those type of developments, we're obviously going to get a lot of upset people.
Well, people have to have housing. What do you say to them?
But the problem is the housing is being fled from the inner cities. The white picket fence dream has got to change, especially when there's vacated houses in the lower city.
I think it's time the city put some money into that and clean up the inner city.
Well, it's part of a larger problem. When we start spending the majority of money on the expressway but neglecting our inner core, a vicious cycle begins. You know, the downtown core starts rotting, people don't go, and then it spins and spins and more, and then people flee to the suburbs, and yet we have the donut effect in the city where the hole in the middle sucks the resources from the outside.
And we got, I don't know how many thousands of homeless people, and winter's coming, numbers are going to go up. I just heard that there was another death on the street from somebody not having a place to live. The city even publishes their own reports and stats that every month there are 15,000 people using food banks in our area. 15,000 people that can't pay their rent and eat at the same time.
And this is a lot of children in this area.
Being a school teacher myself, the effects that proven that environmental education is a proven asset in child development. And when you start taking away the nature from, and the accessibility of nature to these children, it's a dangerous thing. Nature helps produce well-rounded individuals. And the example we're setting, not only in terms of the health benefits by preserving the nature, but if we set the example of destroying the valley, I really think that the children will be adversely affected for the future. And having the amount of trucks that are going to be going up and down the valley every day.
And where are these trucks coming from?
It's probably going to be tied to the Mid-Peninsula Highway that some areas have been fighting, and it's cross-border traffic, basically,
surely,
right?
Surely, we don't want to be providing. Yeah, the city of Hamilton certainly doesn't want to be paying for a shortcut for truckers to get from Buffalo to Detroit a lot faster. Recess is a necessary part of the day. We cannot have children outside playing with the fine air particles spewing out into the schoolyard. Hamilton has got the highest respiratory rate problem in the country, second to maybe Windsor, I believe, and we certainly don't want to be, perpetrating that problem.
Okay, so there's a definite pollution hazard to young lungs, to the aged. Somebody was suggesting earlier building an alternative to 20 highways. Any got comments on that?
When they said they were going to build this road, 20 highway was still to be 20 highway. So why not do it down like this in the States or on Burlington Street, where you have a highway above a highway and the traffic can pass through and right to the QE very quickly?
The City Hall is so hell-bent on building this expressway that they haven't given any serious consideration to any other alternative, either the over and under type method. There has been very little research for alternatives, although, yes, we know that going above and below would be very expensive. But if the flip side of that is that you have not destroyed any pristine nature yet.
Yeah, we're talking about 40,000 trees.
40,000 trees in a Carolinian forest area that needs to be protected. So Highway 20 has already been developed. Keep the developed areas developed.
Well, somebody else was talking about the cut in the side of the escarpment.
Well, exactly. Many people, the problem with the lack of public consultation is people don't really understand the size and the scope of this project. When you show people an actual map about it, which ironically the city does not show residences on any of the maps that they put, because they can't show how close that this affects people's homes, which is a neat thing. All the maps still have green around them and say the enhanced trail system and all this nice stuff. A lot of people don't realize over 100 meter swath of the escarpment is going to be blasted out to ease the grade of the expressway when it comes down off the hill. They do not realize that we lose an arterial road. Mount Albion is going to be closed. Many people do not realize we lose Mount Albion. The city is counting on, one, lack of information, and two, misinformation. So when you tell people the truth, size, and the scope of this project, people are really, really stunned.
What about some of the stories the city's been commenting on in the mainstream press about provincial government money?
Provincial government money, the two parties are currently supporting it, the PC, Brad Clark, and the Liberal Party, with Dalton McGuinty and Jennifer Massa being the local representative, both want to see this road built and provide even more funding to get this Red Hill Creek Expressway built.
So I'm not sure now if the city is making money in construction or still in the hole. Nobody seems to know for sure where the provincial funds are, if they're here or they're not here, if there's stipulations. Everybody's shaking their head no. Nobody knows anything.
No.
We really don't.
It's hard to say, because everybody wants to believe that we're in good shape, so let's tell people that they're in good shape, the city's in good shape, and then say, oh, well, maybe the expressway is a good thing for us.
Like, who do you believe?
But really,
you believe,
it's us that really is going to pick up the tab. It's going to be not only picking up the tab for this expressway health-wise, but financially, it's going to be our children and our children's children, five generations.
And what does Hamilton owe right now, today?
That's a good question. What would you like to see the city do?
Stop the expressway, for sure. That will save money. There are many financial problems looming with this expressway. Okay. There's the Rennie Street dump, which we haven't mentioned so far.
That's a frightening topic.
That is appalling.
That was an environment court order to remove the toxins that were in the soil and leaching into the soil and put it into the Rennie dump. And from my research, it's not to be disturbed for 70 years. And that was only, 5 years ago, something like that?
5 years ago, I think. They have to excavate approximately 20% of that dump. The city was fined $500,000 for polluting the creek from that dump.
And told to fix the problem.
And told to fix the problem. The general consensus amongst the experts was that that dump could not be disturbed. It could not be excavated and disposed of. But they are posing to excavate 20% of that dump for the expressway. They don't know how much it will cost, and the residents are totally unaware of how many trucks will be required. There'll probably be 7,000 trucks required to move that dump.
I want the expressway stopped. From City Hall, I want them to own up to the mistake they've made. It's a big mistake. Another councillor that isn't there now has owned up to it.
Who would that be?
Anne Bain. Let's be adults about it and work something out. We don't need, how many cities are left with a valley?
We put faith in them to make the right decisions for everybody and the right decisions for the future. And I would really hope that there should be some accountability brought towards the city councillors for not just making the right decision for now, but making for the right decisions for the future.
Say, what would you like to do?
I don't want the expressway in my backyard at all. I have no idea. I don't know what I can. I don't know what I.
Vote.
That's the first thing is voting.
But what other power do I have? I work a lot, and I don't have.
I don't know how many letters I've written.
Okay.
And made a few more people aware.
because I'm also a school teacher, made a few more people aware, saying, oh, I didn't realize that's where you lived, because a lot of people just do not realize where exactly this valley is. A lot of people in the city just do not realize how beautiful it is. I have many, many, many people come on the street, salesmen and whatever, and then all of a sudden they'll say, like in shock, they'll say, oh my God, this is such a beautiful street, and what's that in your yard? And I'll say, this is the Red Hill Valley.
What about the valley? Somebody was saying, right? The owls and the foxes and the squirrels.
We had deer in our garden this year. Six of them.
Nobody knows anything.
Yeah. No, I was driving up Mount Albion about a month ago. I just turned the corner off of King Street, and there were three deer right just...
Where would they go?
In fact, I was worried because I thought that they would go right onto the street right then and there, but then it just made me that much more aware of the life that's in the valley here.
So it's not a dead valley. It's not scrub trees. It's
the lungs of Hamel.
Yeah.
It's a gem of the east end of the city, and it's a totally unrealized potential. Ecotourism is now a thriving business in many other cities. It's just a matter of being creative and harnessing it. It's right. Let's use it to our advantage to attract people. The Royal Botanical Gardens is a wonderful gem in the west end of the city there, and also Coots Paradise. Why can't we have that and fight for that in the east end of the city as well?
You guys to stand up and fight for it.
And that's what I intend to do, and that's why I feel so strongly about it that I put my name in, and I'm running currently for the Ward 5 councillor. And it's because the current incumbent, Chad Collins, is for it, and which is the whole ironic. All the people that are here today, we all live in the area and know the value of it. But at the end of the day, I still look out at this beautiful valley and know what the right thing is to do.
Thanks. We've been talking to some of the residents surrounding the Red Hill Valley.